What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google. Today, I'm coming at you with my man, Michael Alden. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
Hey, well, thanks so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Well, geez, I always have trouble answering that question. You know, what exactly do I do? Well, you know, and I finally just come to the realization that I'm an entrepreneur. Okay. I'm a lawyer by trade. And I've been an entrepreneur since day one, though, before I was a lawyer. You know, I was the kid that was selling lemonade, at the end of the street, and I franchised it and had multiple lemonade stands with my friends and having paper outs and shoveling, you know, snow in the winter. So I'm just, you know, again, that classic entrepreneur. I just love business. And so whether it be, you know, helping people, you know, with their books or whether it be writing books is which kind of my thing. I'm a 3-time Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestselling author, or is it building businesses, you know, to 9 figures? I mean, my businesses have generated hundreds of millions of dollars. But at the same time, you know, I'm also as real as it gets. You know, I don't sugarcoat things. I let people know that, you know, being an entrepreneur and the life of an entrepreneur is not easy. So that's kind of like the quick little Reader's Digest version of kind of who I am and where I'm at now. And maybe we'll get into some more.
Awesome, man. Well, I definitely want to get into a little bit more. Who were you before you were Mike the lawyer?
So that's a great question, man. So I was Mike, the kid that grew up in the projects. You know, my mom's HIV positive. My stepfather died of AIDS. My father was addicted to coke. Kid I grew up with was in jail for life for murder. One of my brothers did time for distribution. Another brother died of an overdose. My stepmother just recently died of an overdose. Another brother was in rehab for a heroin addiction. And I wasn't the best kid either. You know, what I was lucky about though is I never smoked a cigarette, never did any drugs, and wasn't really kind of like my thing. And sports and athletics really kind of kept me out of trouble. And I joke around with some of the people that that happen to still be around from where I grew up. And the difference is I just didn't get caught, you know, so I was pretty lucky there. And then there was a point in my life where I just, you know, made a decision when I was about 15 years old that, you know, I was either going to be a criminal or I was going to somehow be in the legal community, whether that be a police officer or something. But I just knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. So, you know, I'm still that kid from the projects, though, you know, and people say, and it's kind of weird at 45 years old, I still have that chip on my shoulder, but I use that chip on my shoulder to my advantage. You know, everyone that I've known since I was a kid that, you know, that didn't really necessarily know me personally, but they saw me from the outside, you know, they were all kind of rooting against me and they're still rooting against me. And so, again, I use that kind of as like my superpower. When people talk about adversity builds strength, that's a real thing. And one of my first books, Ask More, Get More, the first line I say is, thank God I was born poor. So, that's who I was. I still harness that, but it's not who I am, right? You know, a lot of times people say, don't forget where you came from. I never forget where I came from, but I'm not going to stay there.
Awesome, man. So having gone from the kid from the projects to having one of the Inc. 500 fastest growing companies, being on TV, having a top rated podcast, like where did all the confidence come from to be able to make all those massive shifts?
Yeah, dude, you're like nailing the questions, man. You know, so it's really a two-part answer. I'm not always confident. You know, and I portray that image of confidence, but a lot of times deep down inside, I'm scared. And a lot of people won't admit that, you know. So, you know, Zig Ziglar talks about fear, false evidence appearing as real. But, you know, fear is actually a real thing, you know, that also you, if you use it the right way, it can, you, again, you can harness that fear, just like that, you know, that chip on my shoulder as a kid, and use it to your advantage. So, you know, when you start to, get into your entrepreneurial career, you know, you really have no choice to be but to be confident and confident in your actions. You know, one of the things that I always tell people is if I'm, you know, I am a gambling man. And if I'm going to gamble or bet on anybody, I'm going to bet on myself. But that confidence, you know, takes time. You know, I think there's a difference between being, and I talk about this a lot, being you know, optimistic. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs were just overly optimistic, and that's, it's not a bad thing, but you also have to have a dose of realism in there. And so I have both of those. So when things are going wrong, which happens to me all the time, like you and I were just talking before we recorded, you know, I'm realistic about that and understand that, you know, that things are going to go wrong. It's not going to be easy. But I also have that optimism knowing that, you know, if you can make it through, you know, you will have brighter days and things will get better.
Absolutely, man. So I got to ask, like, you literally, I mean, you wrote a book called The Blueprint to Business. You have, according to Inc., you have one of the fastest growing companies, like 3 years in a row. Like, just tell us, like, what is it that makes a successful business to you, man?
Yeah. So it's funny you ask, you know, because, you know, we're on this app called Clubhouse and there's a lot of people flexing, you know, and saying things like, again, 8 figures, 9 figures, 7 figures, whatever the numbers are. And everyone talks a big game. And I'm one of those guys. I talk about, you know, hundreds of millions in revenue, you know? And so the definition of success is a fluid, you know, definition, and it changes for everybody. And it means something different for everybody. And for the longest time, when I was younger, when I first started my business in 2008 in the worst economy in the history of the world up until now, you know, I, for me, success was growth. It was, you know, having a big company and having people around and doing, you know, tens of millions a year, year after year in revenue. But as I get older, you know, I've had mentors and, you know, kind of teach me these lessons that it's not necessarily about that. It's not about that gross revenue. It's about how much you can keep. And it was a hard lesson for me because those years when I was doing 50, 60 million a year, I don't think we did 60, but we got up close to 60 one year. You know, I was losing money and I didn't realize it because I didn't have accountants and a bunch of people that, you know, in the finance world that were showing me. I just saw the revenue and I saw this money coming in. And then there were times when I was like, my career was in, my business was almost completely shut down because I was caught off guard because I owed this guy $1 million and this guy 700,000. And it's like, how do you not know that? You know, I was on Grant Cardone's show back in the day called, Power Players, it was called. And, you know, he asked me that question that year. We did like 50 million in revenue. And he was like, you know, how much of that did you keep? And I didn't have the answer, you know? So success to me and you and to your viewers and to your listeners are different, you know, but I think ultimately as you get older, as I start to get older and I think about success, for me, it's more about that freedom to be able to do what you want, when you want. And it doesn't necessarily mean money. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are confused with that and think that, well, I need all this money in order to be happy or to be successful. No, because, you know, one of the mentors I had mentioned, I owed him $700,000. I didn't know him from a hole in the wall. He actually came out of nowhere. I was never heard of him. I was dealing with his partner. Guy's name's Charles Parisi from Brooklyn. Looks like a gangster, talks like a gangster. And you know what? We're good friends now. And I still joke around with him and say that he probably is a gangster. And you know, when someone like that shows up on your doorstep telling you that you now owe him $750,000, you start to really think about, you know, what you're doing. And he said to me, Mike, you know, congratulations. That year we did 33 million. He said, congratulations, you did 33 million. But what if I told you you lost two? And what if I told you, if I could show you how to do 15 million and keep two, which one would you choose? And I joked around and I said, oh, I'll do the 15, you know, I'll do the 30, you know? So now I'm at this point where it's like success is about, you know, how much you can keep, in, you know, from a financial standpoint, but really my true definition of success is to be able to do what I want, when I want, and ultimately to be happy.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.